Blog Talk Radio.
I want a woman, I want a lover, I want a friend. I want somebody to share my love. Yes, loving is something I've got plenty of. I want a woman, I want a lover, I want a friend.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is One Love, One Connection, One Us. And tonight's show is, the first of, I hope, will be more of a series of The Lover's Journey. We are going to be talking about relationships or talking with couples who have relationships that are working, that are healthy, and even though they may have their challenges, there is sort of a mutual love and respect between the people. So, and my lovely hubby is on the line. Did hubby, you there?
Yes, I am here. Lord have mercy. How did you know I wrote the words to that song? What's so crazy about that is after I wrote the words to that song, I ended up finding out that I think it was Jackie Wilson had wrote them years before I did. And I said, Lord have mercy, how did that happen? I just don't know. But I was feeling it. I was feeling it so hard to where you showed up. And I was like, Lord have mercy, this must be some real stuff.
Well, I think I happened upon the song because I'm old school. I'm actually older than I really am. So, I really enjoyed that song too, and I'm so happy that you wrote it for me. Thank you, honey.
It was divine intervention. That's all I can say. I'm so happy, and I'm still happy. Lord, have mercy.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we are going to get prayed in. This is the Annabelle Co-op prayer with Thomas Shalaw Walker. We're only going to do one round, and then we're going to bring Reverend Jamel Gilliam and his lovely wife, Dr. Krista Gilliam, on the line. So hold on, folks.
And I'm a cool girl.
truth gonna hail out my Jacob, the King of Chapinet. So clear could you should take her, so hot a new cobel, Rishma, Tizakatu. You dare to have a role, production, Kuruma to go. Malam Bayan Production of Umau to go. Malam Bayan.
I'm talking to myself, ladies and gentlemen. I keep muting myself, you know, so that you guys don't hear the background music or background noise. And I have to keep reminding myself, oh, I put myself on mute. So, Krista, yeah, it always gets me. Reverend Jamel and Krista, are you on the line?
Yes, we're here.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. And you know what? We're going to give you guys some applause claps. So hold on a minute. Okay, so good evening, and thank you guys so much for joining us. You know, before we really get sort of fully engaged and started, I would like for you guys to, you know, tell a little bit about yourselves and how it is that you two came to meet one another.
You want to go first?
You can go.
So you want to know about us, or you want to know how we met? I mean, which?
Well, you can tell a little about yourselves, and then you can talk about how you met.
Okay. So I'm Jamel Gilliam, Reverend Jamel A. Gilliam. I am the visionary and senior minister of Universal Centers for Love. Prior to that, I was the associate minister at Spiritual Empowerment Center here in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm trained as a social worker. I've worked as a therapist in the Baltimore metropolitan community. I've worked with the offender population. I've facilitated a number of male rites of passage with young men at Morgan State University and Delaware State University. I think that's it. I'm probably shortchanging myself, but for the most part, I'm just me.
And I think the big thing right now is he is in the middle of a PhD program that we all feel like we're taking together in this family. So we're very proud of that. And I am Krista Gilliam. I have a PhD in social work and have worked in social work practice serving children and families primarily. For about the last 8 years, I've worked in social work education and am currently working as an assistant professor at a university in a social work program.
Okay.
And how did we meet? We actually met at a we actually met at a professional social work conference. So
yes.
Our profession is what brought us together.
Yes.
In New Orleans, because I'm originally from California, and so I would have
mm-hmm.
not probably met Jamel had I not been participating in the conference.
And I was presenting that year, and with my supervisor and coworker, and we were presenting, and Krista was walking with a group of ladies. And I came
mm-hmm.
over, I don't even remember exactly. I said something to her, something I knew the answer to. And I think she loved to tell this story because I touched the small of her back. And, you know, the rest is history. Here we are, 5 years later.
He gave me butterflies.
Well, it wasn't 5 years, it's not 5 years later, but we've been married 5 years. I think we met in 2005, so it's been 12 years.
Okay. So, you know, well, tell me, what was your journey like before you both met one another? When I ask that question, it's my thought or my belief that our previous experiences sort of you know, help formulate to us to where we are up until that point. And then we mature and we get sort of like clarity on what it is that we're looking for and what we desired. So what was it that you think that was going on beforehand that led you to that moment of actually meeting each other at the conference?
I have a 25-year-old son from a previous relationship. So I was dating prior to meeting Jermaine. And actually the year that we met was the first year that I can honestly say that I was feeling myself as a fully grown woman. My theme song at that time was Living My Life Like It's Golden by Jill Scott. And I was actually really just like living the life professionally, personally, emotionally, and spiritually at the time. So when I met him, it was like a perfect time in my life to meet somebody new. But even when we met, when we first met, we were both on very different pages about a lot of different things. So we initially, you know, literally started out as friends because for me it was a great time in my life, but for Jermaine, he was going through some life changes in his life. And based on my past experience, I think I was able to support him on what he was going through at that time in his life. So when we originally met, we literally just met as friends, you know, providing support for each other. And again, we were long distance, so we actually had a long distance friendship for about 7 years before we made the decision to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I can agree. I think that we, you know, it, just different places. The challenge that I was going through, my mom had just had a stroke, and so we were really just trying to figure out what to do with that. I was her caregiver, and yeah, it was just a lot. So at that point, which is an interesting story because 12 years later, because I've gone through it, Krista is now experiencing that with her mom, who is still in California and is staying with one of her sisters. But she's right. We definitely, I mean, the Creator won't give us anything that we can't handle, even if he gives you the ability to handle it in another person as it relates to support. So I think that was a big piece for us where I had experienced it. I'm able to support her. And then the things that she has experienced, she's been able to support me. You know, she mentioned that she has a 25-year-old son. Well, I have an 11-year-old and a 15-year-old. And so she's been able to support in that regard.
Okay.
So there's the exchange.
Okay. Okay. So this is a question that I've asked many married people who have been married, whether or not together or by themselves. But what was it that made you say that she was the one, and Chris, what made you say yes?
Okay. You know, I knew that she was the one a long time ago. I think the distance was, in my opinion, the barrier. We, I mean, you know, Baltimore and California is about 3,000 miles away from one another. And her son, when I met her, was about the age of my daughter now, I believe, 14 or 15. And so he was still in school. And so she was really careful about exposing him to men, and I give her kudos for that, because not many women think about that. So, and she's right. I mean, it's tough because, you know, you want to protect your children. So that was one. And I think what made me ask her is, and maybe she has a similar story. You know, you date, and I have been dating. I'm not, you know, that was no secret. I had, you know, numerous failed relationships, and I think to meet someone who wants the same thing that you want and more is what I saw in her. And, you know, not only is she beautiful, she's a sweet person, she's loving. There's a lot of things that I could say with what made me ask her. But just for being herself is what made me want her even more. And so I said, hey, you know, I can't let this slip away. I'm getting older. She's getting younger. And so and we use a lot of humor in our relationships. Anyone who know us, they know we love to, even the children, they laugh. We love to use humor in our relationship. And if you can't laugh at yourself, then I don't know what can you do. But, you know, that was really the thing that made me say, okay, this woman really, we're equally yoked because we want the same things in life. She was as equally ambitious as I was. And all too often, and Krista loves to, like, loves to use this expression. I'm going to use it on the air. She loves to call me Captain Save-A-Ho. And so, she called me Captain Save-A-Ho. And so what I realized about the relationship with she and I, there was really no saving each, you know, the other one from anything. It was really just about us working together and building something. And that made me really want to say, let's do this. I mean, you know, this futile dating that I was doing wasn't working. I'm sure she could say the same. Although she might not. I don't know. She might say she was having a great time.
But up until
I asked her to marry me. But she's here now, so she's stuck with me.
And I will say, you asked the question of what made me ask. The first time I came out to visit.
What made you say yes?
Yeah, she said, what made me say yes? I'm saying the very first time I came out to visit, I literally rode on the plane right home. I cried for about 4 hours on the plane going home as if I was leaving something that I was supposed to be at. And so that was a very different dating experience for me. And it was still several years later before, you know, we got more serious, but I just felt a strong connection from the very first moment that we met, you know, all the way up to every time we had a chance to meet and hang out with each other. But while we were, you know, separate and long distance, we were both dating separate of each other. We were not in a relationship or anything like that. We were just dating. And I really was having the time of my life. When Jermell called, my son had graduated from high school for about a year, so I was like, for the first time, fancy free and on my own. But when he asked, and you know, I weighed out all the pros and cons, there really was no reason to say no. And so I looked at it as an opportunity to be joined with somebody who I felt very, very connected to on multiple levels. So that's what made me say yes. But that first very encounter of being in tears, as if I had known him all my life, was a life-changing moment. And that's before he was then Jermell. You guys don't know him before he was then Jermell, but yeah, I met him before then Jermell, and now that he is the more zener version of himself and have witnessed him go through a transformation in his process.
Okay. I know that my husband has been kind of silent, but honey, do you have any questions? King, are you there?
Questions?
Yes.
Well, life in and of itself is full of questions, and there's constantly questions running through my head, but I don't know what you mean. Do I have questions for our guest?
Yeah, do you have questions for our guest?
The only question I got right now, did you guys eat?
Say it again, did we do what?
Did you guys eat? Have you eaten for the evening yet?
trying to pull together some snacks before we eat. I actually have been out of town and just got home late on Sunday, and yesterday we spent the day at the hospital. Jermell's mom got sick, so we have to get groceries and the whole nine. So, no, we have not. It really hasn't.
And you see, the reason why I asked that question is because I hear and understand that both of you are really, really involved in not only the relationship that you're both in, but you are both understanding of your position in handling this type of life that society has kind of impaled us with, and the way in which you guys seem to be managing time and energy is phenomenal from the distance of which I am viewing you two. And if there's a question that would follow that is, how is it that you both find time for one another when so many other things around you is trying to drain your time from you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that, and I would be the first to say that that's an ongoing struggle, but we do make it we try to make it a priority. There are times, Baba King, that we will wake up, at least I'll say it, that I'll wake up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. We're talking 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Or because for a long time there was a long-distance component, I'll go to work, would have laid there all night. We would have, maybe we've talked, maybe not, or maybe I'm rushing to get to a meeting, or she, or vice versa. And we'll talk to one another while the other one is on their way to work or meeting. And so I think we've been creative with that. And I think that's still a work in progress, but I think we've done a great job with it so far. It's funny that we talk so much on the phone, being that we don't have opportunities, but we really do talk. There's people at my job now. I was just kidding with her earlier. One of the ladies at the job, she kind of joked. She said, "You on the phone with your wife again?" And it's not that we can't do without talk. I think we really enjoy talking to one another. And when something happens, I think we're probably the first persons to find out. You know, little things like, "Hey, let me tell you what just happened." So I think that's a big part, that we actually are friends, in addition to being lovers and spouses. But you know, like the song talked about. And so, you know, I think it's important to continue that, to work on that. I mean, we can't sit here and let it drift away. We got to constantly do things. We got a date planned for this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in school. She's a college professor, so she's in school. It really. Mm-hmm. And so we just get, you know, take it day by day. You know, we have a ritual. I will share that I may have messed up indirectly. We have a ritual. She would bring up coffee, you know, and I didn't start drinking coffee till I got married, and we would sit and watch the morning news. But as you know, you and I both know, there's nothing good on the news these days, so we just got to find something else to do. And I'm trying to stop drinking coffee, so now she's been bringing me green tea until we figure out that we need to do something else in the morning before we go, you know.
Wow, that's amazing, because I find it interesting that, you know, flexibility is what I'm hearing also, which is a really, really key component. Kristen, I believe it is, right? You were about to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, too, when like Jermel is in a PhD program in Pennsylvania, and I was working in Pennsylvania last year. So any time that we can join each other on a ride up to Pennsylvania, even if it's just for the ride in the car, we literally ride in the car. When Jermel doesn't want to talk, he puts on what me and the kids call his sleep music. He starts playing some jazz, and the rest of us, I call it, I'm meditating. But, you know, for the most part, we'll have the music down, and we'll spend time on little road trips around town, or just get in a car and just take a drive, just driving around some of the back roads in the city, just so that we could have some alone time and spend some time together. So I'm very thankful that he likes to drive, because I don't like to drive. And so, you know, we do little things like that to spend time, and we actually really do like each other and like spending time together. So that's always a good thing.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's interesting you mentioned the aspect of finding some things to do together. Arlene and I were out yesterday, and I saw that there was a window of opportunity, of which I wanted to take her to a babbling brook, if you will. So I said, let me go check it out to make sure everything was safe. Of course, you always have to kind of balance things out and know that when you're trying to do good things, you can have come across opposition to hinder those good things from happening. It was so crazy because yesterday I had the wrong shoes on as I was going to check, you know, the babbling brook. And I started babbling after I fell because I was like, "Lord have mercy, this is not safe." I come back up, all injured up in Carazon. My leg was injured up, but I came back and my wife, being as loving as she is, showed me compassion even through to today. But the grace of God is what kept me from getting all busted up on the wheelchair. But I like that idea of flexibility.
And, you know, we have a funny story of we went to a concert one time in Falls Church.
Yeah.
And I was just new here. I don't know if it's right before I moved here. I hadn't moved here yet, but I came out so that we could go to a concert. And so in California, we don't get this torrential rain that we get out here. So it was a big adjustment for me about the rain.
So it was, I mean, at first I got to tell you who it was. I think that's the answer to it. It was Michelle Indigale Cello. She plays jazz bass, and she did all Prince covers, nothing else. She didn't do any of her own songs. She just did Prince.
So we went out to this, the concert, and it's pouring down rain. When we come out, the theater was really small,
So
everybody's standing in the lobby, you know, trying to figure out what to do because it was raining so hard. And Jermell says, well, we parked maybe about 7 or 8 blocks
away. It
was
really far away.
And so Jermell said, well, I'm going to go get the car. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm not going to let you go out in the rain. So we literally go out, and I had on some flip-flops and my cute little outfit.
California girl style.
Yes. And it is pouring down rain. And
it was summer.
Yeah, it was summer. So we get back into the car, you know, pouring down rain, soaking wet, and then we end up having to take off all of these wet clothes and literally drove back to Baltimore.
In our underwear.
No towel, because Jermell keeps a clean car. There's nothing in the car to dry off with. And that's how we are going to be together, and we must have laughed the whole way.
It was funny.
But it must have poured
down. It was really.
Cats and dogs.
Like monsoon season rain.
That's how we can do this. Do anything. I think I lost my shoe fell off.
Wow! To me, I see the humor in our Creator, bringing a experience for you guys to come closer sooner than y'all anticipated. I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Well, proves she was a ride or die.
There you go.
She didn't complain at all. I think I said we got a story.
Arlene, I thought I was going to get him to stop at Target or something so we could get some paper towels. Had we been in my car, it would have been a change of clothes, a change of shoes, a roll of paper towels.
What do you guys think makes a strong foundation for marriage in general for anybody who may be listening?
I would say being flexible because, I mean, you know, the component of forgiveness is important. You're forgiven every day. You know, some people get so angry with their spouses for, you know, and I hear the stories, you know, leaving the toilet seat up, leaving the toothpaste. Was it the cap off toothpaste? Whatever. Not, you know, things that people do, you know, what normal human beings do when they live by themselves, transitioning into living with other people. But you see your spouse you love them and you see them as another human being and give them the same level of forgiveness that you would want for yourself. And so I think that's the practice of grace.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, I believe that makes you a better person. It makes your marriage stronger. It makes your union stronger. And I'm a talker, so I'll say, well, let's talk. And she'll tell you. And also just checking in, like, how are we today? How are we doing? You know, just giving the other person opportunity to talk or not. And so whereas Krista may want her space, I'm just like, hey, what's up? Let's talk. Let's go, you know, because I think it's important that people get out. Now, I wasn't always like that. I think I would probably be in the basement not talking or, you know, at the bar, at the club, whatever. But I think it's important to talk so you can air out your grievances because, you know, nobody's perfect. No marriage is perfect.
And I think the biggest thing is definitely practicing grace that, you know, constantly asking ourselves, what was the other person's intention? Is this person intending to destroy me? Did this person intend to hurt my feelings? And almost every time that you answer that question, no, you know, well, he's not trying to hurt my feelings. You know, nothing about his actions is trying to destroy me. You know, a lot of it is perception. Some of it is about ego. And just really being in check about that and, you know, giving that other person the same kind of forgiveness that you want. And I also think that it's very important not to go into the next day holding a grudge, that we try to do a very good job at, even if we don't resolve it, because we don't always you know, come to an agreement when there's a conflict, but that you don't walk into the next day holding a grudge or being mad about something that happened yesterday, that you that you have to let stuff go. And if it's something that you cannot let go, then you need to hash it out before, you know, we go into any future experiences, because those things tend to keep coming up. So I think that we do a really good job at not, you know, going forward holding a grudge against each other or keeping score or keeping record of what you did. And if the other person does do that, then we are both very good about calling each other out.
Yeah.
About, you know, why did you say something about that yesterday? Why are you just now bringing it up today? So being able to have that open communication and just really, I think, just practicing the grace and trying to, you know, put yourself in the other person's place of what was the intention behind any action or inaction.
Okay.
We got to start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I add something too, Arlene? The
sure.
I think we're talking about two people with two different sets of parents.
Yeah.
You know, two people from two different households growing up, and so there's gonna be some level of agitation, discomfort, you know, conflict. I've run into people who said that they've never had arguments. I'm not saying that everybody has to have an argument, but the couple in particular I'm thinking about, and there's other couples like that, somebody wasn't being honest. You have to be honest about what you're feeling and thinking. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they're right, they never had arguments, but maybe there's something going on that nobody's being honest about, they're not sharing it. So, because if you don't share it, the other person just won't know. And so you really have to think about that, that it's not going to be a perfect transition. But then together, after going through the process and putting in all the hard work, it will be perfect, because you'll know that person. I mean, we had never had a fight during the long distance thing. Not really. I don't think we've ever had
only
a
one time.
Yeah. So you're not going to have that until you're living in the same space. You know, like, oh wow, you know, I didn't know that you you know, like to have the toilet paper going in that direction. I like it going in this direction. And she's laughing because that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I like the toilet paper the way I like it, and she likes the way she likes it. And it's just like, really? I like it over.
I really don't care.
She don't care, but I have a thing. You know, that's my anal. So,
okay.
So I don't know if she's ever noticed.
Anal and toilet paper, the same message.
Oh, yeah. Right, in the same conversation, right?
Yes.
I actually, would just subtly just kind of flip it, like, the way I like it, and then be done. And she doesn't care. She just put it on there.
And it's not subtle. It's not very subtle, but yes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, so, you know, was there anything that you all were surprised to learn about one another after you started living with one another?
There's probably a lot of things. I'm trying to think what comes forth first. I have one. So I don't know if Ken, you can relate to this. She keeps multiple pairs of shoes in her car. And I had to say to her, I said, what's all these shoes in the car? She said, well, you know, she got to have the standard flip-flops. That's just her thing, the California thing. She's got to have a pair of heels, and then she got to have, what is it, multiple pair of heels based on the color of what she's got on. Got to have jackets. That's a funny thing, because it'll be like 90 degrees out. My wife will have on a jacket because she's cold all the time. So we laugh about it now. And it's not just her thing. I think when her son and her niece were here, it was the same kind of thing. I'm like, you guys are overdressed. It's hot. And I'm always, it really doesn't matter because I'm always hot, so. But what else is it? Definitely the shoes, the jackets, and the sweaters. We actually had fun with that. I think that, we did find out that we both like to go to the movies. And she knows that, I don't know if you want to share what you were surprised to find out.
I can't really think of anything that I'm surprised to find out. You know, Jamel's a very sensitive and caring person, even though he tries to be tough guy on the exterior, but he's very thoughtful and, you know, attentive to me and the kids and making sure that everybody's taken care of even before he takes care of himself. So I can't really think of anything that that I was surprised by. I think I was very well prepared in my life to be in the situation that I'm in right now. I could not imagine doing this experience with another person, honestly.
And, of course, okay. We all have our own experiences that we can compare to. So I think I would say the same thing. Krista has been really thoughtful. I think she does a good job of reminding me to perform self-care, because I will be selfless and forget about doing all the things I need to do until the point of, you know, basically suffering. And so she's good at reminding me, you know, husband, you need to kind of pay attention to yourself as it relates to, you know, whatever it is. Even though the kids, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. The more they get, the better. Money, food, or whatever. But my wife is really good at that.
No, see, the only reason why I asked the question is because I think the thing that surprised me about King was that this guy has a bit of a wild side, and I didn't see that coming. So, and when I say wild side, what I mean is, like, you know, for the most part, let me just equate it with a person who's like a biker guy who will take you on like an exciting ride on a motorcycle. And I think, you know, it just I know I haven't talked about that, honey, but yeah, that surprised me about him. So that was the reason why I asked the question, because you know, it again, it's a whole lot different, you know, living with somebody and really knowing them that way, and actually in just dating. So you don't always see that. So that's why I asked the question. So do you think that your relationship has, like, enhanced your lives since being together? And if so, in what way?
I absolutely think that we have – I'm going to take credit for my enhancing his life now.
Oh,
I think that we have both – we complement each other very well. And, again, personally, professionally, spiritually, my spiritual – journey has been that I am a Christian and was raised as a traditional Christian. So there have been lots of questions that I have had spiritually over the years that I think that being in this relationship, I have gotten more clarity. So, you know, on a spiritual level, professionally, I probably would not have gotten my PhD, you know, had I not had Jermell's support to go forward with pursuing my PhD. And then again, like he said, my mom being sick. So there's so many ways that along this journey, you know, his preparation, you know, has made it easier for me to, you know, take the journey that I have been on. So I do definitely think that being married, and then also being married specifically to Jermell, has definitely enhanced my life. Even with the kids, you know, the kids challenge me in different ways, and I think that they make me a better person, a better mother, a better supporter and a wife and a spouse to him, because I'm also having to be supportive of him. So I think, you know, the whole family dynamic altogether has, you know, enhanced my life for sure.
Yeah, I definitely will say that she's been a blessing to me. I can't even, you know, make this up. I believe that my daughter's in the back laughing. I think that, you know, she made this house a home, and even though we were here kind of, you know, functioning as a family, I was a single dad, I believe that my wife has been real good at making sure we're eating healthy, we're, you know, just kind of keeping things together, and this is all the while doing her own professional development, you know, going through her process, you know, now in her career, and so, yeah, she's been really good. I think, you know, I can't imagine this journey that I'm on right now with anyone else. I believe that this was divinely ordered, and anyone else, you know, and I, you know, like she knows, we weren't, you know, we both had passed before we met one another. And at least I'll say this, I'm sure that she could say the same thing. I can't imagine this journey, because some of the other folks that I was with, none of this probably would have even happened with. So, I'm definitely thankful for her in my life.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick music break, but we will be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are currently here with our guests, Krista and Jamel Skillion. My name is King Teasdell. I am the husband of the beloved Arlene Cahet, of which we of the Divine Inspiration Network welcome you back. Krista and Jamel, I have a question, which let me see if I can throw it out there appropriately. Each of you, if you would respond to it, I deeply appreciate it. It kind of goes like this. When Jamel, you spoke of divine intervention, my question is, what role do you each feel about what God has done in bringing you both together?
What role do we both feel that God has? I missed the last part.
Yeah, about what God has done, his actions in bringing you both together. Was it happenstance? Do you feel as if it was God himself who actually guided you together? Is it that it was through prayer, hope, desire? What role did God play in bringing you guys together? You just kind of figure it's just, you know,
okay.
We just bumped into each other. It's like, cool.
I think that was probably the biggest part. I'll let Krista share that part, but I think you want to say what you were going to say?
What was I going to say?
That you always wanted a man that was going to pick up.
I was going to say, so I have very specific prayer criteria list to God, very specific about what I wanted in a husband. So we do joke about this every now and again, because had I known I was going to get everything I asked for, I would have added a couple more things to it. I honestly, you know, from the time I can remember, wanted somebody who was spiritual, who believed in God, who believed in the power of God, so that who could pray for me. And I have had several guys over the years who I have dated who have absolutely failed in that area. So I recognize it when I see it. But, you know, other little silly things, like I don't like to drive. I can drive very well, but I don't like to drive. So somebody who could drive me was one of the things on my prayer list. Somebody who has lived on his own and had his own place. So Jamel is a homeowner, because I've had past relationships where guys, you know, had lived with their parents and, you know, or lived with another woman right out of their parents' house and never lived on their own. So they don't understand what it takes to run a household. So I have some very specific criteria. And when I tell you that Jamel checks every single box, it is just a testament. And what I say all the time, that how you know, that God is who God is. And when I first met Jamel, he wasn't really that spiritual. I gave him a test, too. I sent him a purpose-driven life book in the mail right after I met him.
I was spiritual. I wasn't spiritual where you wanted.
Purpose-driven life had just come out. And I think Jamel called me and flipped out on me. Why would I send him this book? So to see him on the other side of this with every spiritual book that you can think of now.
Yeah, I got a library in the basement.
It's how I know that, you know, his transformation is real, because he flipped out on me. And when I came to visit him, I think the book was like in the floor, on the floor, in the bathroom, behind the toilet. Like, that's how much he wanted the book.
Well, before she moved here, I had a library in the bathroom, and she didn't like that. She didn't like books in the bath, books and magazines. So I would do a lot of my reading, you know the rest, in the bathroom. So I didn't necessarily flip out. I didn't answer a question. Why would she send me this guy's book? Because I wasn't really interested in Rick Warren and what he was doing. And it was the book of that time. So, you know, in 2005, you know, it was one of the books on bestsellers list. People talked about it. I just wasn't interested. And people at my job had been reading. It was just one of those things. And I was spiritual. I think that I was spiritual in the way that was working for me at that time. So I was still a seeker and still trying to find different things. And so I think because she was a traditional Christian, I think that was different for her. I think I will refer you as a liberated Christian.
Okay.
Yeah.
A free-thinking
Christian. Uh-huh. And so we just had challenge. I mean, I was very provocative with challenge her. So I think that's when she says I wasn't Zen, it was more me being kind of provocative and a quasi-revolutionary at that time, just really exploring my own way, and also seeing what other people were doing and interested in hearing what they had to say about it, and chastising them for sharing what they were doing. So I was a rebel. I was probably more obnoxious than anything, but I was a rebel.
You said you were chastised.
And I think all that to say is that watching him go through his process to becoming an ordained minister, that if when we had that conversation about the purpose-driven life, you know, had I cut him off then, I would never get to see, you know, the active application of when God can change somebody's heart and mind, and then to watch, witness them minister to other people. Because if, you know, we would have had this conversation back then, I would have said, oh, no, he's a lost cause. But I really have seen him come full circle and then back around again on this journey, that we could not have open conversations or dialogues. But we don't always agree about everything, but we definitely can challenge each other and have an open conversation without being defensive. So when you ask the question of, you know, what do we believe that this was ordained, or what was the influence of God in all of this, that from beginning to end, I can say on my part that I absolutely see everything that God has worked out in this, just based on my prayers as a very young woman, not even really knowing what I was praying for.
And I would say, I would agree. I think even now, you know, and God is constantly working. I think it's one of those things where just being there, being present, listening, and knowing that, you know, we have each other's best interests at heart, and it's only because of our relationships with Spirit that we're able to do that for one another. It's not, we don't have a selfish marriage. I think we are probably two of the most considerate people that I know as it relates to being married to one another. I think that has helped us.
Yep.
That's beautiful. So what I'm picking up, well, let me ask this question. When you observe the two personalities coming together, was there a question of compatibility, and did compatibility play a role in you guys being a harmonious blend?
You know, I would say so. I definitely think so. Like I said, I think that we have a very strong connection, spiritually, emotionally, just, you know, seem to on most occasions be very in sync with each other, which we balance each other. So,
yeah.
You know, it's very interesting how, you know, like Jermell says, he is the talker. He's very outgoing. And even though people don't believe it, I really am an introvert. So even when we come into a room, and when it's his time to shine, I can be in a supportive role. When it's my time to shine, you know, he can be in a supportive role, that there's never this push and pull for one to try to, you know, overtake each other. That it really just seems to be that there's a balance, and it's really in all facets of our life.
Yeah.
On, you know, how we balance things. And I really like to say, I think that we are a nice balance of masculine and feminine in our relationship.
And you talk about harmony. I wouldn't want a woman that agrees with me all the time, every time. I think that would be pretty boring. Let's talk. You know, let's build. Let's expand. If it's just about, well, whatever you say, sir, I don't want that. So I think it's you know, stop calling me sir. You know, but I think definitely we, you know, we do a good job at that. Well, you know, Krista did have a couple of names for me, but I don't think I can say that on air.
Okay, so we want to be really kind of respectful of your time, and you guys have given us an hour, but you know, why don't you go ahead and share anything that you may have be coming up? I know that Reverend Jermell, that you have your church that's going to be opening up on December 3rd. So if you're willing to share that information.
Yes. So the Universal Centers for Love is a multi-denominational metaphysical spiritual community in Baltimore, Maryland. Wonderful individuals that are connected to and involved with. But we would love to have anyone that's in the listening that are listening to this program to come out and visit us. Temporarily, we're going to be at Indigenous in Digital is 213 West Reed Street. I believe it's 21201, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are we're just excited about this chapter in our lives, and not just for us, but for those who are going to be a part of it. This isn't the Jermell Show. This will be our community. And I say that because all of us know more than any one of us, and we're here to grow spiritually and continue. This is going to be a relationship-based spiritual community. It's going to be strength-based. It's going to be love-based. We're really here to remind each other of the love that created us. And so Universal Centers for Love, affectionately known as UC Love, which is what you'll get when you come see us.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on. You all are really beautiful people, and we really, really, really appreciate you being with us tonight. Any closing remarks, King, before we get off the air?
It's just a pleasure to have this opportunity to grow closer to both of you, and I'm appreciative of that. And thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, family, so we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, we thank God for you, and we know that wherever you are, God is.
Thank you. Namaste.
Oh, really?